Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Silver Spoon Podcast. I'm your host, Kennedy Alsop. Today, we are going to talk about limiting money beliefs. What are some common ones and how we can put in the work to get rid of them? We're really excited to be joined by Rafi Sheikh. He is the founder and owner of Peaceful Financial Advisor Lifestyle, a coaching firm helping financial advisors shift their mindsets, build seven-figure businesses, and take 100 days off. Doesn't that sound nice? 100 days off. Rafi has 2 decades of experience in being a financial advisor himself, and he's bringing all the lessons that he's learned being a business owner, being an advisor to his clients, his financial advisor clients now. And today we are fortunate enough to grab a few of those lessons from him in helping to get rid of limiting beliefs so we can continue to elevate personally, professionally, of course, financially, and however we see fit. Thank you so much for joining us today, Rafi.
Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure is all mine. It's an honor and privilege to be here and speak to your audience, and looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, let's dive right on in then. So the first limiting belief that we want to talk a little bit about is around financial decision making. So often financial decisions involve trade-offs. They involve sacrifice. There's something that you have to give up in order to get the thing or save up for the thing that you want to achieve. How can we more effectively navigate the challenges of delayed gratification and prioritize long-term goals over immediate wants, especially in this day and age where, like, I feel like instant gratification is just like the thing, whether it's social media or ordering something off Amazon, like we are surrounded by instant gratification. So how can we hone back in and sort of limit the temptation of those easy to grab options?
No, absolutely. This is one of those finance caveats where everyone is in the dilemma, right? So I myself was an advisor for almost 2 decades, and I've seen this firsthand. It's one common question was, do I spend everything today and not have anything for tomorrow, or do I save everything today, you know,
right,
and have that money at the end? There should be a medium, a happy medium, where everyone has to find for themselves. And I talk about this concept called 30,000 days. On average, a human being, at least in North America, lives for about 30,000 days. Okay, that's the concept. So for the first 10,000 days, you're going to go to school, graduate, you know, get the job, you know, that sort of phase.
Right.
And the next 10,000 days is that's when we actually start making money. That's where, you know, we kind of get the mortgages, the cars, the businesses taking off, careers taking off, kids, marriage, and all that stuff happens. Mm-hmm. And the next phase is the next 10,000 days where you're probably retiring at some retirement destination or just going into the sunset. So that is how I look at it. So if you look at from a 10,000 foot view, for most of the listeners, probably that 10,000 first 10,000 days phase is gone. Now they are in that middle where that's where everything happens.
Right.
Whatever decision you make, either that will make you or break you. And the challenge is finding that balance. As you mentioned, our current society, we want everything instant. We want an Amazon same day delivery. We want to go through drive-through. We don't want to park our car and go inside to grab a coffee. We want everything instant. But this is how I look at it. It kind of pains to sacrifice now because we don't know the unknown in the future. That is why I say that finding a balance. Of course, we wanted to save for the future, but we wanted to have life today. We wanted to live today. It doesn't matter. I have had clients. They save for those 10,000 days. Mm-hmm. Then there comes the day when the next 10,000 days starts And the first question they're asking is, I have accumulated this wealth, how am I going to spend it? Because what happens is, we are creatures of habit. When you go into that ultra saving mode, you save and save and save and save, you come to a point where it is very hard for you to spend that money. So that's one category. Yeah. The other category is they spend and spend and spend, but when it comes to the retirement, or they know, okay, I got only 5 more years that I can work. And after that, even I wanted to work, like physically, my body is not allowing me to work or to make that money. And for them, because all these years, for 10,000 days, you got used to a certain lifestyle. Because humans, the natural tendency is to resist change. So when they go into that last final phase and where they have to live within their means, for those who are listening, I'm doing air quotes here, it is very hard to live within the means. That is why one has to find an objective. I call it a why. What is your why? Why are you doing this? You keep going back to that one question. So you go walk into a store and you see a beautiful dress and you want to buy that dress, and you know that you don't have the money, or you know that it is very hard. If you buy the dress, then probably you would go into a more credit card debt or whatnot. In that moment, you have to ask yourself an honest question. That's a moment of truth. That's the mirror. You look into the mirror and you ask that question. Why am I buying this dress? Is this to impress my friends, my colleagues? Or is this going to give me naturally the happiness, internal happiness that I'm looking for, right? So in most of the cases, like 90% of the times, it is from external sources. Anything we wanted to purchase, material things we wanted to purchase in life, it's either because of something or someone. Yeah. That is why I like the book Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. He writes it very beautifully. Mm-hmm. We wanted to buy the things to impress people who we don't like. And we wanted to invest in things which we don't want to invest, to spend the time with people whom we don't want it to spend with.
Beautifully put.
So, because it's all impulse, right? Mm-hmm. So you go on a boxing day, it happens with everyone. It happens with you, it happens with me, it happens with every. That's what makes us human. If we don't have those human emotions, then we would be as good as this table, chair, or the wall, right? So that is how I look at it. So anytime you come across this, like, do I do a delayed gratification or I want instant gratification? But when you delay the gratification, it compounds. Meaning, say you wanted to take a backpack Europe trip and you know that for 3 weeks it costs you, I'm just throwing a number, $5,000. And you save, your friends are going out Friday nights to the pubs or they're doing whatever, and you don't want it to go spend that $200, $300. You save that $200, $300 and you save the entire year. And after 12 months, you go take that trip. The joy you get out of it, it's compounded. Because instant gratification gives you a jolt right there. It's like putting a band-aid. But delayed gratification is actually the solution. Because when you try to band-aid a situation, you have to keep band-aiding it. There is no end. Because you're just acting on your whim. That is why I say that go back to your why. When you are saving that money for the Europe trip and your friends say that, oh, okay, it doesn't matter. 1 week, we can go out. You can cut some slack. Ask that why. Am I doing this with peer pressure? Or am I doing this for myself? Your why has to be bigger than your reason to act on that impulse. Always have a why which is way bigger than your goals. Way bigger. Because when you are on a pursuit of any goal, I can guarantee you one thing. I cannot guarantee you anything else, but I can guarantee you one thing. You will hit obstacles. You will hit roadblocks. The one thing and the only one thing which will save you is your why. If you hold on to that rope, that why, it will save you.
I agree with that 100%. I think the why is so important. I think it definitely does. It keeps you weathering the storm. It keeps you moving forward, because the goals will get accomplished, and then what? Like, you know, what what's next?
Absolutely.
You definitely have to hold on to that why. I love that. I love that so much. I think that was perfect. And I love the example about travel, because I think that's so true. Like, when I'm preparing, like, travel is a big why for me. Like, I see.
Me too. It's two of us.
I seek financial freedom just so I can be able to go out and experience the world. Like, travel is something that's really important to me. And I think when you can have those feelings and emotions and attach that to something that keeps the train going, keeps the wheels moving forward. So the next sort of limiting belief that we want to talk a little bit through is the fear of failure. I especially think in those, if you're looking at the 30,000 sort of days, going back to that sort of idea, within those 10,000 where everything happens, I feel like a lot of people can be afraid to sort of take risk and to just do the things that they need to do. How can we begin to embrace more of a growth mindset and develop an attitude for experimentation and taking calculated risk during these monumental times so that we can see the growth that we hope that will happen in the future, whether that be financially, personally, professionally? How can we take steps to embrace more of a growth mindset?
Anything worthwhile, when you are acting out of your comfort zone, there's always fear. There's always fear. I'm a big believer in neuroscience and power of manifestation and power of subconscious mind. And what I have seen is, when you have goals and when you're acting, see, you're in this circle, okay? Right. So imagine this is a circle for someone who's listening. Just imagine a circle, a big circle. You are inside that big circle. And something which you want is outside of that circle. It's outside here. If you really wanted to attract that, you cannot just pull that into your circle. You have to expand to bring that into your circle. Your big circle has to expand so that whatever your goal is, whatever you're thinking, it's out there. So it's out of your comfort zone. So you have to grow into that comfort zone and act. So a lot of people talk about vision boards and visualization. Yeah, I do all look at all that. But in my personal opinion, anyone can do visualization. Anyone can do it. But the real gist of manifesting your goals is to take action despite of that fear. Say you wanted to buy a dream house and you put the picture of that house and you're manifesting it, you're visualizing it, you're doing all these things. But when the day comes to pull the trigger, you're not doing it. Then the universe, the subconscious mind, or whatever you wanted to call your higher self, thinks that, okay, this person wants it, but it's not serious enough to take the action. It kind of goes away. Then we blame, I did visualization, I did the vision boards, I did all these things that the so-called gurus say, but nothing worked. Well, I say that nothing will work until you work it out. All it takes is 10 seconds of courage. All great things happen to great people in the moments of fear when they took that 10 seconds of courage to act it anyways. The universe rewards people who take action. Everyone has fear. On the other side of the fear, that's where the success is. That's where the freedom is. It's just that one door. And it takes 10 seconds to open that door. Act on it, because freedom and success, wealth, anything worthwhile likes action, and it likes action with speed. Yeah, I will act on it after my 10,000 days. No. But a lot of people focus on things which are unnecessary. You know, fighting over petty things, just wasting the energy, sitting on the couch and watching Netflix, where they can actually take the action and go do the thing which will move them one step closer to their dreams. We always have choice. We always have choice. I always say that. It's one of my things. I always say that you have a choice. You can always complain about your job. My job sucks. My boss sucks. Like, whatever it is. Or you can take action to do something about it. So that is why I say that taking action in spite of fear. It doesn't have to be perfect, because most of the times the fear that holds us back is either imposter syndrome. That's number one. Of anything, that's number one. The second thing is what others would think of me, what my friends would think of me, what my family would think of me, whatever. So it's one of these two. It is not the things that happen to us. It's the meaning that we give to them. Like you walk into an office or someplace with a dress, you think it's good. But deep inside, you think, nah, I don't, maybe people are looking at me. Maybe they're just looking at you casually. Maybe they are looking at you, wow, that's a nice dress and maybe I need to get one. But the meaning you give, why are they staring at me? Am I that ugly? Am I not even worthy to wear this dress? So it's not what happens to you. It's what the meaning that you give it to. That is why I say that you always have a choice. You always, always have a choice. You can be a victim of that story, mm-hmm. or you can turn it around and go pursue your dreams.
It's very true. It's very true. I love that. I love that. And to wrap it back to, but then also take us to the next one, you mentioned that the most, like, the fears that people tend to have are, you know, the fear of not being, you know, worthy enough, not being enough, imposter syndrome, or the fear of being judged by others, the fear of people wondering what, you know, you're wondering what they're going to think about you and what you do. And sort of honing in on that one a little bit, oftentimes that can be a hindrance to having these open conversations about things that we're going through, whether they be financially or otherwise. And often, for sure, in money conversations, they can be kind of taboo because we're worried about what people are going to think about us if they hear that we're struggling with debt or we haven't saved any money or we're not buying a house in the next 5 years or whatever the goal is. We could be worried about what they're going to think. And so that keeps us from maybe not seeking help, not asking people for different, you know, just different viewpoints, different ways that we can start to do things. That can lead to a lot of like isolation and just like feeling of a lack of support. What is the benefit to building a support network and finding mentors and just having those conversations without hesitation to discuss goals and challenges? How is that something that can benefit us versus us sort of keeping it all inside?
I am a big believer in two things, especially if you're on a path to growth. The number one is you need a support, a coach or a mentor or a well-wisher who can give you an objective overview of what you're going through. I always say there's a bottle syndrome. So say this is a bottle, someone who's just audio only, say you have a bottle with a label on it. It's very hard to read the label on the bottle, especially when you're inside the bottle.
Ooh, that's good.
And when we are inside it, we always keep thinking, okay, this bottle is, I'm all water. It's all, only water. It's plain drinking water, H2O, nothing else, tap water. But the person who is outside looking at the label, he says, dude, it says Monster Energy drink. You drink this like it's superpower. But you don't know it because you're inside. You can't read it. Sometimes people kind of lean on someone they are close, very close to. Say, imagine this is the bottle. If you hold this bottle like this, can you read the label? If you hold the bottle like 2 centimeters away from your eyes, can you read the label?
No.
You cannot. That is why you need someone who's distant. That is where the coach or a mentor or an advisor, like someone who's in that capacity, who can give you an objective third-party advice on what is going on, who's not going to sugarcoat you, who's not going to say, oh yeah, you're okay, don't feel bad. A lot of people, you know, 97% of the America is in the same rut. So just to make you feel better. No, you need someone who can actually give you the truth. Whether you can handle it or not, that's secondary. But someone who can actually speak the truth. And trust me, it's always harder. Always, always harder. Because it's outside of your comfort zone. Because if you already knew it and you're acting on it, you wouldn't be in that situation in the first place.
Right.
Right? So that's one. Then the second thing is having a community around it. You are part of, I don't know, you know, Facebook group or mastermind groups or, I don't know, local chapters. Like whatever that support group is. Because when it is a group, I don't know, if you have read Laws of Success, Napoleon Hill's book, and he talks about this quite extensively. When two people meet, when they put their heads together, when their minds commingle, then another third mind, which is more powerful and superior than those two minds, forms, which becomes the part of that energy. And I'm a big, big believer in that, because I have seen countless times how it has worked. And that is why, as part of our program, we have Mastermind as well. We have a 12-week program where we train, help advisors, get the blueprint, you know, to establish seven-figure practice and take 100 days off. Mm-hmm. And after they graduate this program, then they have a year-long program. It's a Mastermind. It's a group of all successful financial advisors who's going to be part of that program. Because the dynamics that get created in that group would be at another level. You won't get that individually. That is why if you see a lot of successful entrepreneurs, they are always part of a group.
That's true.
Because success begets success. Mediocrity begets mediocrity. It's as simple as that. And that is the problem. And finding the right support, either mentor, coach, or advisor, or a community where you can be in, it is challenging, but it's not impossible. If you can find these two, that will set you on a right path. See, you want to go from New York to San Francisco. You know where you wanted to go. You put that on the GPS and you go from there. But once in a while, you need to look at the GPS. You cannot just sit in the car and keep driving. A lot of people know what they wanted to do, but they don't do it. Why? Because they don't look at the GPS. Your support system, your coach, advisor, mentor, and your community, that is that support system. And I cannot emphasize how big of a role that it plays. It doesn't matter whether you wanted to build a real estate portfolio. Go find the groups which are involved in real estate, because that's all they are talking about every day. And when you are going into the game, you will learn their challenges. You learn their successes. You will learn how they did it. Because there is no point in reinventing the wheel. Someone already did it in that group. You just get their advice. That's how the group dynamic works. You give energy and you get energy. There is something magical beauty about the group. As humans, as individuals, we always seek that. That is the reason why we meet for people for Thanksgiving. That is the reason why we wanted to meet people for Christmas or around holidays or whatever you do. That is the reason why COVID was so hard for people. Everyone said that, you know what? I wanted to be in isolation. I wanted to be all alone. Yeah, it worked out for 1 week. After 1 week, people went crazy. Why? Because of this. Because as human beings, as energy beings, we need energy. And we feed off of each other. And that energy gets compounded when you are among the people who vibrate at the same energy. And it works on the opposite as well. You go to talk to someone who is in the victim state, who is in the self-sabotage state, who is in the apathy, the lowest vibration state. You spend 10 minutes with them, you just feel like, man, this world is coming to an end. Yeah. Why? Because they suck your energy out. So when you go to these groups, it will elevate your energy. And when you meet people like that, it will suck your energy out. So you have to be very careful, because that's one of the rarest currencies that you have, the energy currency. People underestimate it. Mm-hmm. People think money is the only currency or time is the only currency. No, energy is the biggest currency. It could help you and elevate your game, help you take your game to the next level in unimaginable ways you can never think of. That is why a community is so, so powerful. So powerful. Wherever you just look around, everywhere there is a community. And every successful thing which has been running for years and years, most of them, they're all part of the communities. Sure. Because of the community. Yeah. And I highly, highly recommend someone is pursuing their goals no matter what, go seek that support system. Go seek those mentors, coaches. It doesn't matter what it is. Go seek that, because it will help you, give you another perspective. Sometimes we think, I just feel like I'm stuck. I'm doing the work. I'm grinding. I'm working. I'm doing everything possible. But still, I'm not making that money. Why is that? Because when you're inside the bottle, it is very, very hard to read the label. That is why you need the person outside. They'll give you a fresh perspective. And of course, you should be open to take that perspective as well. If you are a person who gets defensive pretty easily, then probably. won't help you.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. I love that. That's a great, that's a good image to have around it. And that's very true. Your environment does, you become a product of your environment. So if you are going to be around people who aren't going after their dreams or just complaining or victims of their situation, you're going to become that. But if you are in the room with entrepreneurs and people that have done the things that you want to do, you're going to get the knowledge that you need to be able to do the same things, be able to achieve it. And I think that also ties back into, like, you know, like when you can sometimes worry about what other people think. Why would you worry about what somebody thinks if they haven't done what you want to do? So,
no, exactly. See, the universe doesn't care about your feelings or your emotions or whatnot.
Yeah.
What matters is the action that you take. That's how your goals get accomplished. Any big thing, any big, you know, success you see, anything worthwhile was able to, like, someone was able to accomplish that only because of taking action. Nothing else.
So true. I think that's important. It's definitely important to have all of those things that you mentioned, somebody to help pull you out of your own mind and to be the person that can read the label on the bottle and tell you exactly, you know, what things are, you know, what is on the label. I think that's really important for your finances as well, because finances are so inherently emotional and there's so many feelings wrapped up in it, and we can easily sort of, you know, just, I don't know, it can just become such easy tunnel vision. So being able to just seek an outside opinion is very important. Someone that can help educate you, help you make the right decisions that you need to make for your situation and not for, you know, what somebody else is doing. So I think that's so important. But thank you so much, Rafi, for joining us today. This has truly been a wonderful conversation. I'm personally going to go back and listen through again, definitely write down some notes, take some good notes, some things that I'm going to have in my space just to remind me, because I think that these are the things you shared today are definitely the first steps and the continuous steps that we have to be taking to see the life that we want to have come true. So I truly thank you for taking some time to join us today. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation with Rafi today just as much as I did, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much.
If you're interested in connecting with Rafi, you can check out the links that we've dropped in the show notes below. If you want to check out the full length episode, make sure to hop on over to our YouTube and check it out. If you learned something new today or were inspired by what you heard, I encourage you to share this episode with a friend. We truly appreciate your support. And I'm sure we all know someone who could use a spoonful of abundance. Until next time.